John chapter 13, and we're going to flip over to the 15th chapter for a couple of verses, but in particular, let's look at verse 34 of John chapter 13. Let me make sure I've got the right one here myself. I'm talking instead of flipping over to the right thing. Here we go. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Let's look at chapter 15. And actually beginning in verse 12, and this is kind of a continuation of where Paul was preaching for the last few Sundays, up until last Sunday. And actually, we're continuing along that line as we look at verse 12 through 17 of chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Father, take your word now, as only you can do, by the witness of your Holy Spirit to our hearts and to our minds, and speak to us concerning our love for one another, just as you loved us, Father. We thank you for that precious, glorious love, and that, Lord, while we were yet sinners, you loved us, and you gave your Son for us, so that we might be reconciled to you. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you that we have been born again of your Spirit, God, as you intended us to be, as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Quicken us this morning, God, that we might have ears to hear, and that we might see that light of your truth in its all, in its completeness and its fullness, and our hearts would grasp and understand all that you have asked us to do, when you have asked us to love one another. Shed abroad, therefore, in our hearts, Father, your perfect and perfecting love, that we truly might heed your commandment, we might obey, and that we might walk in a manner that's worthy of Jesus Christ, who has called us. And Father, may he receive alone the glory and the honor that is due unto him, for we ask it in his precious name. Amen. If you look back at chapter 13, it's interesting to note that as Jesus was speaking to the disciples in the upper room, he said something very specific about our loving one another. And he says, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment. What did he mean by that? Remember, in the course of his ministry, the lawyer came to him and asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second is likened to this, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus has gone beyond that when he has said to his disciples, those who have been born of the Spirit, those who are his followers, those who have put their faith and trust in him, a new commandment I give to you. A new set of orders that goes beyond what it said in the great commandment that he had quoted to that rich lawyer who had tried to trip him up, but instead Jesus reduced it to the simplicity of loving God with all your being and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that is that we are, as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to love one another even as God has loved us. Not just as we love ourselves. It's more than that. We are to love one another as God has first loved us. Now think of that for a second. The magnitude of what Jesus has said to his disciples. Loving others, those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, loving them with the same love that God has loved us, and indeed first loved us before the foundations of the world were laid. He knew that we would be, he knew what we are, and he loves us unconditionally, even though we are yet sinners. He gave his son for us. What great love he is asking us to love. And he's asking us to love in this way. As you look back at chapter 15, this is my commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. For he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. We're coming up on Memorial Day tomorrow, a special day. And I have felt an obligation and a special feeling toward this day as never before, in that we are honoring those who gave this kind of sacrificial love, who died for their friends. Now, I don't think anyone goes into combat thinking about giving their life to their country. They think about it, truly, but they're not looking at saying, I'm giving my life for the United States of America. What they really give their life for are their comrades, the people that they know that are real close to them, the people that they operate with on a day-to-day basis, who depend upon them to do their job, militarily speaking, and who have put their trust in them and confidence in them. And there's a bond and there's a kinship there that goes far beyond anything most of us can imagine. And it is that kind of love that indeed compels people to do heroic things when there's no intention in their heart, and they don't really want to. I don't think anybody wants to die, but people are willing to die for one another. That is an awesome love, and that's the love that God calls to us our attention. He says, this is a great love, and Jesus indeed was willing to give himself for us, though we were imperfect, though we are flawed, though we have all sorts of character defects, though we are yet sinners, God is indeed giving himself for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing it is. What a wonderful thing to remember those who sacrificed their lives for their country, who shed their blood for our sake, that we might have the freedom to come here this morning and worship. And what a great, wonderful privilege it is that we can do just that. Now, God has shed his blood through Jesus Christ, his Son. And we have a great love that is our pattern, that is the way that we need to understand and which we need to love as God loves, not just merely as we love ourselves, not just loving our neighbor. And we can sometimes be to the point of saying, well, that's just somebody that's close by, somebody that might not necessarily be my neighbor, but someone that's in my circle of influence. People that I know, yes, okay, I'm supposed to love them. But Jesus has gone further. He's saying to his disciples, love one another. And if you're not sure of that, just continue reading the first epistle of John. And you'll see how he takes this theme and magnifies on it in such a wonderful way. The love that we have here is a love that is perfect and perfecting. It is perfect, for it comes from God. Indeed, the Greek word is agape. All of us have heard that. That's God's perfect love in its fullness and completeness, as only God can love, and as only God can shed abroad in our hearts to love others. It comes from God. God is his source. God is glorified when we love that way. Now, also, we get to a point at times when we are a little bit qualifying as to who we are willing to love. And why do we do that? But it's just really human nature. We like to love to be sure that if we do love someone, they're going to love us in return. And we're not always guaranteed that. Indeed, people's actions might be really grieving, and they might cause resentment, and there might be alienation, and there is no excuse. As a matter of fact, as you read through 1 John, he makes it pretty clear that if one hates his brother, the love of God is not in him. He's not of God. He's clear about that. In every way, there's no doubt. If you hate your brother, you've got a problem. You've got a very deep spiritual problem. It's going to affect you for eternity. So love your brother and your sister in Christ, but there's more to it than that. Sometimes we have people who have offended us, and there's resentment or bitterness. There's offense given. And we cannot understand sometimes how God could ever expect us to love them. But God does, because he loves them. And if he loves them, we ought to love them also. I can remember very specifically hearing a sermon back in the early 70s. Actually, I guess it was about 1976, so that's about the middle 70s. From a fellow by the name of Jack Taylor, who was a preacher at Southern Baptist preacher. And I grew up a Southern Baptist, so I was kind of inclined to listen to him. But Jack preached a message about receiving one another. And matter of fact, I had to hear it twice before I decided to act on it. And the theme of his message was this, especially as it relates to husbands and wives. But it goes far beyond just husbands and wives, or children, or the family, or friends. It deals with everyone. And that is, in order for us to truly love people, we first of all need to receive them. God gives us the gift, the free gift, of salvation in Christ Jesus, does he not? But we have to receive it. You know, we can refuse it. We can ignore it. We can act like it doesn't exist. But we have to receive it in order to be blessed by it, in order to have life everlasting in him. We have to, first of all, receive that gift, and that's part of putting our faith and trust in him. We have to receive one another in Christ Jesus if we're going to love one another as the Scripture here has commanded us to do. To receive one another means that we love unconditionally, without qualifications, without taking into account wrongs that have been done, without trying to work out the balance sheet, so that it's in our favor, or at least or it's equal, evenly balanced in both cases. We need to be willing to love regardless of what's happened to us. And that is, we ought to forgive one another just as God in Christ Jesus forgave us. And that we ought to love one another just as God in Christ has loved us. So therefore, we need to receive one another. Upon hearing this message, it really convicted me. But matter of fact, Jack Taylor came to our church there in Amherst, New York, the Amherst Baptist Church, and preached an Abundant Life Conference, and that's where I first heard it, and it really, really made an impression on me. But I had to hear it the second time on videotape. Now, it wasn't our particular video, but at that stage of the game, it was a fairly new thing. And I can remember listening to that and really coming under God's conviction. And as we drove back from Amherst, New York, which is a suburb of Buffalo, on the way back to Niagara Falls, where we lived, I can remember making the decision, it's time to act on this. We got home that night, and the children had been put to bed. I sat down on the couch next to Rita, and we began to talk. And I told her, I had to make a confession to her. I said, Rita, I need to ask your forgiveness in that I have not loved you unconditionally. I wanted you to be perfect and to be a certain way before I would truly give my love to you in an undivided way. But I love you, and I want to let you know that I receive you as God's perfect gift for me. As a matter of fact, as you looked at James chapter 1 for just a moment this morning, there's a verse of Scripture here that I think you'll find an incredible blessing. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow, or turning, as it says in the King James. And you know what it amounts to is that we have to acknowledge, first of all, that the helpmate we have, that the family we have, that the friends we have, that the people we have here in this body of believers are a gift from God. Now, some of you might think, you know, I'm going to have a problem with this. But you know what? Every gift God gives is perfect. He does not. A perfect and holy God does not give imperfect gifts. He gives perfect gifts that are purposed to perfect in us his love and the traits of Jesus Christ so that we become like him. That's the purpose. And sometimes, have you ever thought about how opposites attract one another in a marriage? Do you think that's an accident? You think things happen by some kind of a cosmic accident? No, I don't believe so. I think a sovereign God knows what we're going to do. And he joins us together for a purpose. and he joined me together with Rita for a purpose. And we've been there for 40 years now, and I'm still learning that purpose. And I'm sure she is too, but this is the fact. When I sat down that Sunday evening and said to her, I receive you as God's perfect gift for me, unconditionally, you are God's perfect and perfecting gift. I believe that. By an act of my will, I did that. And it changed and transformed our life thereafter. That was about the 10th year or so of our marriage. And what a tremendous difference that it made to us. And I'm still convinced it's one of the reasons why we're still together after 40 years. Also, I can remember having to apply that principle in one other respect. It was to my mother-in-law. And for about the first 10 years of our marriage, I never referred to her by any name or title. I didn't say, dear mother-in-law. I didn't say, dear mom. I didn't say, Cecil. I didn't say, hey, you. Didn't say anything. I just kind of, when I caught her eye, I addressed her, and she, you know, I was. But there was a animosity there. There was not a hatred, but there was some animosity there, and it had started before we even got married. I never forget that. I can also remember when I had begun to apply this principle to my life, going to her one time shortly thereafter. We went on vacation to Colorado. And I sat down with her one day and I said, I need to ask your forgiveness. Because, first of all, I never asked for your permission to marry your daughter. And she was kind of flabbergasted that I would even say that. But I was convicted that that was wrong, that I had not respected her position within the family. And so I asked her forgiveness for that. And I said, also, God's convicted me that I have been unloving in my attitude towards you, and I hope and trust that you'll forgive me for that unloving attitude. She was utterly flabbergasted that I ever asked her to do that, for forgiveness. She was utterly flabbergasted. And matter of fact, she just didn't know what to say. But I can only say that from that moment on, a change took place in our relationship. And I called her mom until the day she died. And I called her mom with sincerity and love. I asked God to shed abroad in my heart love for her. And he did give me a genuine love for her. And I think that she loved me as best she could. She wasn't a believer. I don't know. I don't think so. But I believe that she truly loved me. And we had a different relationship from that point on. Why I'm telling you this is that we need to take that step of faith at times. We need to be willing to forgive people who might have wronged us or had opinions against us that we just don't know where they came from. Or we need to forgive people who have practiced benign neglect. And by benign neglect, have you ever had people that just that didn't offend you? They just don't act like you exist. They just don't act like you really exist. You haven't got to the point of being qualified yet for their love. And you're kind of mystified as to how that might take place. But the fact is, you can be willing to love someone like that, regardless of whether they have practiced benign neglect or unintentional disregard, or whether they might have even offended you. The fact is that God has asked us and required of us and commanded us to love one another. And the purpose of that commandment is found right there in verse 35 of chapter 13. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The world needs to see the reality of Jesus Christ. The world needs to see the demonstration of his love. Now, God could send angels that could speak the message quite clearly, better than you or I could ever hope to do. But he has chosen not to do that. He has ordained to use you and me. And he has required of us. He's not forcing us, but he's asking us and commanding us, essentially, to love one another and thus demonstrate to the world that we are the disciples of the one true living God and Jesus Christ, his Son. Can we not obey what God has asked us to do? Can we not be willing to heed the commandments of the living God? Can we not receive one another and thus essentially release one another to be a blessing in our life and the lives of them as we receive and love them truly? Can we not do that? Is it too much to ask so that God loved us even before we ever knew he existed? God loved us so much that he gave us faith to see him and believe him and trust him and live for him. Therefore, can we not heed the very message of God that we love one another as he has loved us? That is our request this morning. And you know what? The whole purpose of the cell group ministry, one of the primary purposes of the cell group ministry, is to give you an opportunity to practice this very thing. You know, it's very difficult to get to know people when you see them once a week for about an hour, hour and a half, and you're distant across the congregation, and you have a chance to maybe say hi, and that's about it. But you know what? When you get involved with people in a small group, in a cell group, essentially of 4 to 12 people, it's amazing what things can begin to happen. I can only tell you, I probably have read about 20 to 30 books in the last 6 months since I've been here. I'm utterly amazed as I read and I've researched as to what God is doing in the cell group ministry or small group ministry, whatever you want to call it, in the modern church today. And matter of fact, one person has called it the Second Reformation. It is an opportunity for us to really begin to love one another, to build up one another in love, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to participate one another in the ministry of the gospel. That is what it's all about. God wants you to minister to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and what a wonderful opportunity is forthcoming to do just that. I can only say we're not trying to do this, and I'm not trying to lay a burden on you, don't get me wrong. But there's a purpose in this. God wants to change us and transform us into the image of his Son. And indeed, if we really believe that he is what he says he is, we would be willing to obey him. He doesn't require much of him. His commandments are not burdensome. They are not impossible to carry out. If you have a difficulty loving someone, there's a principle that you might remember that you'll find in the scriptures that says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you're humble yourself, and you know, that's what we need to do. We have to humble ourselves sometimes to receive people unconditionally, to agree to love them in that way. It's amazing what God can do when we heed his commandments, when we obey him. And as we look through the preaching that Paul did in this chapter 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll abide in me, and I will abide in you. And when we begin to abide in the living God and obey him and demonstrate our love for him and obey him so that we can let him work out his plan in our lives, what glorious things God can do. Will you not heed the commandment of God and love one another, even as he has loved you? And thus we will prove to the world, as they look upon us, that we are his disciples. Let us pray. Father in God, we thank you so much for this wonderful morning. We thank you for your living word, which is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword that pierces to the very depths of our being. Let your word go forth and accomplish its purpose this morning in our lives, only for the glory of Jesus Christ and for him alone. Speak to us, God, that we might heed your commandments. Speak to us clearly, God, that we might respond to you and obey you and thus fulfill all that you have required of us and glorify Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God, we ask you to come visit us this day, to continue to bring this to our minds, that we might be willing to do what you have asked of us so that Jesus receives the glory that's due unto him. In the name above all other names, we pray, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.